Welcome back to another episode of Seven Deadly Sinners, the final episode during spooky season. And I was not intending to do this episode on spooky season right now. Like, I was not intending to do another haunted story. However, because my in-laws are in town and it's kind of hard to write the crazy case I'm working on for next week, I drove to Cripple Creek, Colorado, which I know I did an episode on a few weeks ago, but it is so eerily haunted. And I got stuck there because it started snowing and I don't know how to drive in the snow. So I had to stay 2 days, which was probably a blessing for writing next week's episode, but additionally a blessing where I encountered several people that told me such eerie stories I can't discount it. But specifically, this card dealer. So yes, I was writing, but I was also, you know, sometimes playing table games. This card dealer told me some stories that literally made my spine chill. Like, I just was like, this. And he had no reason to lie to me. He was just mind-blowingly honest. And so I asked him, I was like, hey, can I interview you? Can I call you in 4 hours when you get off work? So I went back to my room. I gave him a call. And this is the story of Bruce, the Cripple Creek card dealer who blew my mind.
After hearing your stories, everyone else I talked to in the casino has told me really insane stories. I mean, you have way more, but I feel a little creeped out now being here. And this place is haunted as fuck.
It is. But, you know, like you said, that whole town, I mean, everywhere you go, you're going to find, you know, a story here or there. There's something somewhere. And, yeah. You know, like we were talking about earlier, the difference, you know, in, you know, whatever it is that makes one of us get a different experience than the other is what you're going to hear throughout the town.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you've got the people that hear the stories and then just relay them that didn't really experience them.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. But there was this drunk older gentleman that I met at the Creek restaurant yesterday night. And he told me some crazy stories, though, about working in restaurants around here and, like, putting up wine glasses and them exploding.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that.
It's so crazy. So let's could we start with your backstory? I think that would be interesting. And then, because I also just found you, and I think my listeners would find you very interesting. Start with your backstory, if that's okay. Specifically that childhood where you died.
Yeah, so when I was three, I was playing around the pool, unsupervised. My mother was only, 18 at the time, 17, 18? So, mm-hmm. You know, young mother, she wasn't really paying attention. And I was three, and I was running around the pool, and I reached in to grab one of those number plates that goes on a bike, and mm-hmm. I fell in. And there was nobody around because I was unsupervised, and I drowned. Later found by, well, I guess from what I remember them saying is I was found 5 minutes later. By some girl young girl that came to the pool, and she ran and got her father, and then her father came out and jumped in and pulled me out of the water, and then my mom came out and called 911. And when they came, they had me dead. And as we were going to the, but they had me as DOA going in, and then by some miracle or whatever, I came back to life.
Do they have any explanation for how and why? I mean, 5 minutes underwater seems...
A long time for a three-year-old, yes.
Yeah. So did they ever give any explanation as to how you...
No, the way that my mom just always told me my whole life was just they were like, well, you know, they kept me or whatever and did tests and all this. And they actually told my mother that I was going to be probably mentally handicapped or retarded because I had soaked so much water in and I had been in the water so long.
Oh, what? Whoa, that's terrifying.
Yeah, so my mom...
But you're not.
You know, but I'm not. No, but I'm actually pretty intelligent. But,
yeah. I feel like you are, I mean, I wouldn't be doing an episode on you if I didn't find you very compelling. I mean, you're intelligent and your stories are, yeah. So, what else about your upbringing? So, your mom was only 18 and was not supervising you. You also grew up in Compton?
Yeah, so we lived between Compton and Palm Springs until I was like 13. My mom moved around a lot because, you know, she was broke, teenage mother. And so she just kind of follows family like here and there. So we would move, you know, back to Palm Springs. She'd meet a new boyfriend and he lived in Palm Springs. So we lived up there and then they would break up and then she would move back to Compton and live with my grandmother. And then my grandmother moved to Houston. So she moved us to Houston. And then my grandmother moved to here to Colorado Springs. And so her and her boyfriend at that time, well, it ended up being her husband, moved here and then we moved here. So it was a lot of moving around. We never really stayed in one place. But, you know, we were always broke and lived in the ghetto. So it was, you know, my mom growing up in Compton, she was used, you know, that's what she knew, you know.
So, okay, so tell me more about, so you move here, and tell me more about the hauntings that you've experienced here. And do you feel like they... Well, I personally feel like because you went to the other side, you died as a kid. And I've never heard someone ever in my entire life that has had more haunting experiences as you have casually said to me. And I truly believe, I believe you.
Yeah, I mean, because it just gets to the point to where, I mean, you know, people that experience stuff a lot, it just becomes a normal thing. It's like, oh, yeah, I saw, you know, a ghost there. Oh, you know, I saw, you know, after a while, at first, when I was seeing them all the time, I was like, yo, I saw this, or I can't believe this. And then it was like, oh, man, that's just a ghost, or that's just a, you know, apparition, or, you know, whatever. And so, like, you know, it's shocking at first, but then, you know, after years go by, it's kind of like, oh, yeah, you know, like, it's no big deal. But you know,
how
like,
old were you when you first saw a ghost or an apparition?
Well, the first time that I actually saw, like actually saw one was I was grown. I was 20. I must have been like 24, 25 when I actually saw one. And what it was it was me, and it was my doppelganger.
Oh, my God, I've heard those stories. Those scare me. I just recently heard them. Tell me that whole story, because that's terrifying. I just learned about that.
Well, you know, so, like, when I first saw it, it kind of scared me. And there was a guy I worked with, and he was really into the paranormal. And I hadn't been. Like, I had had experiences, you know, but I wasn't really, like, into it. Like, I knew it was a thing. So then we just got to talking at work one day, and I was, like, telling him, I was like, I've seen this. There's like a ghost in my apartment. And I was like, and he looks exactly like me. And my buddy was like, what? And I'm like, yeah. And he was like, he looks exactly like you. And I'm like, yes. I was like, shaved head and everything. And because I used to have a buzz cut. And I'm like, exactly like me, man. And I'm like, he just stands there sometimes and stares at me. Or he'll just walk through the apartment or this or that. Yeah, he would just, you know, like stand, walk through the apartment. And I told my buddy about it and he looked it up. And he was like, yeah, he was like, that's a doppelganger. He was like, that's like means like death is coming or that he's dead and he's trying to take you. So like, it's your, you know, other you. And I'm like, what?
Sure.
I'm like, that's crazy. So I started seeing this dude around. I would say he probably stuck around for a good 2 years.
What?
And yeah.
Can you imagine how you didn't go crazy? Like, I feel like I would go crazy.
Well, I mean,
I feel like I would think I was insane or go crazy just because it would be so weird. You know what I mean?
The only thing that was really weird about it is how he appeared. You know, he wouldn't just be there. He'd just be like, you'd walk out of a room and he's standing there. And you're like, oh, crap. you know, and it was like the one time that he scared me the most is I was in the bathroom and I come out of the bathroom and he was standing in the doorway and I was spraying Lysol. And so I sprayed the Lysol and he took off. And so the mist of him like moving, like scared the crap out of me.
That is so weird. Did he look ghosty? Like, was he like a faded sort of, you know, I can't think of the term right now, but you know what I mean? Or did he look like an actual human?
Yeah, I mean, you could tell the silhouette of him, you know, and it was so clear that you could tell because he was the same height. And, you know, it looked like his head was shaved like mine was. And he was definitely had the same build I had. Yeah, it was crazy. And
I'm definitely going to add a segment where I'm going to research doppelgangers for this episode, and I'm going to voice over a segment because I just heard about those and it scared the shit out of me. I'm going to see what like the history of that whole deal is.
Well, if you want to hear like scary about this dude, I'll give you scary. So when this guy was hanging around, I was dating this new chick, and her and I had just bought a house. And so we moved from the apartment to the house, and we're in the house, I don't know, 2 weeks maybe. And she knew about him, you know, because she had seen him around. And so my daughter was upstairs. I was out playing basketball, and she was home with my daughter. And my daughter was up in her room watching cartoons, and she calls down and says the TV turned off. So my then girlfriend comes up, and she's like, "What?" And she was like, "He turned the TV off." And she's like, "Who?" And she was like, "He did." And she was like, "Oh, okay." Thought she was playing a game. So she turns the TV back on for her, goes back downstairs. A couple minutes later, she calls back down. She's like, "He turned the TV off again." So she goes back upstairs and she's like, "Stop messing around." She's like, "I'm, you know, doing something." And my daughter is like, "I didn't do it. He does it." So she goes back downstairs a third time. My daughter calls down. She's like, "He's doing it again." So she comes upstairs and she's like, who is turning the TV off? And my daughter looked down on the, got down on the floor and pointed into our bedroom, which was across from us. And she goes, "Him underneath your bed." And she grabbed my daughter, ran out the house. And I literally, no joke, I had like 27 missed calls from her while I was playing basketball. And she had left like voicemails, "Get home right now." Like, just freaking out. And so my daughter got to calling him daddy's friend.
Oh God, that's not good.
And so another time we were, I always put my daughter in the bath because I always had her on Sunday through Wednesday. And so Sunday night was Sopranos night. So I would always put her in the bath while Sopranos was on. So one night, she's in the bath and I hear the door slam and then I hear her crying. Right? And I'm like, "What the heck?" So I come running upstairs and I'm like trying to open the door, but it's locked. And I'm like, and I tell my daughter, I'm like, "Open the door." And she was like crying. Like, so I grabbed the lock that was on top of the door and I unlocked the door and I'm like, "What happened? What's the matter?" And she was like, "He got scared and he ran out." And I'm like, "Who?" And she's like, "Your friend." And I'm like, "What?" And she was like, "We were playing with her action figures and he hit my thumb. And he got scared because I started crying and he flew out the room." And I'm like,
flew out?
So, yeah, well, you know, like ran out, like, you know, basically like get it out, you know. And so I'm like, "Okay." I'm like, "All right, well," I'm like, "you know, you okay?" And, you know, this and that. And she's like, "Yeah." So I was like, "Okay." I was like, and I called my dog. I had this huge monster pit bull. His name was Game. So I'm like, "Game," I'm like, "come in here and lay with her." So he comes in and he lays in the bathroom. And so I leave the door open, go back downstairs. Like a minute later, the door slams again. And I hear Game barking. And so I come back upstairs, the same thing. The door is locked. Game is inside barking. I open the door, and Game is barking at the door, right? So when I come in, like, he's barking at the door. So I'm like, what happened now? And she was like, "He got mad because I told on him and yelled at me and left."
Holy shit. That's like some like Sixth Sense shit. What?
Yeah.
Because kids see stuff. Oh my God, that's terrifying.
Yeah, and she was about four at the time. 4 or 5.
Did she ever mention him again?
Yeah, I think there was like a couple other things that happened in the house. But then after we moved out of that house, we moved out of that house probably like a year later. Then he was never seen again.
I got to research if it, well, I do think, like I said to you earlier, certain people, I think, can see more than others can. But I also think it's possible, in your case at least, that they attach to you. Like, they could also attach to, like, objects and stuff, I've heard. I mean, a lot of people don't believe this, but there's no way that enough people have told stories about scary shit like this that it's not true. I mean, and where do people go? Where does their energy go at a certain point? But you, I mean, yeah, this is incredible. So what was your next, was that your first experience?
No. Like, the one I had told you, like, earlier where I was, we lived in that house when we first moved here to Colorado. And we had moved out the house, and I didn't know anything, you know, why we were moving or not. And then my mom left me at the house to watch the house. And all of a sudden, all the lights came on, and the music started blaring on my mom's stereo. And then I heard that voice yelling at me to get out. And it was loud, and, I mean, it scared me so bad. So I take off out the house, and I run across the street, and I sit in the neighbor's yard behind these bushes just watching the house. And as I'm watching the house, lights are flashing on and off. The music is going up and down, and it was crazy. And so my mom comes home, and I come flying across the street, and I'm like, you know, I'm like, there's something going on in that house. And I didn't know anything about, like, hauntings, ghosts, nothing like that. You know, I was only, like, 12, 13. My mom's like, what? No, there's nothing going on, you know, blah, blah, blah. And everything had stopped. And it wasn't until, you know, years later when my mom told me that that's the reason we moved out of that house is because it was haunted. Like it set, like, my uncle's cot on fire. He was sleeping downstairs in the basement. And his cot just caught on fire that he was sleeping on. And then they would roll a basketball down the stairs, like, you know, like, constantly while we were sleeping. And, yeah, and then she talked to the neighbors and found out that it was haunted. And with everything that was going on, my mom was like, nope, we're out.
Did you ever find out, like, what the previous, like, what happened to the, did someone die in there?
No, the only thing that the lady had told my mom was that the last people that lived there moved out because they had, like, just noticed that they started fighting all the time. Right? Like, they were constantly fighting. And they just knew, like, stuff was happening all over the place. And they just, you know, they kind of picked up on it. And that's why they moved. And that's all we had heard of it. You know, when it's that heavy, you definitely can feel it.
What did the voice sound like when it said, get out of here, whatever it said?
Oh, it was real. You know, I wouldn't say, like, I wouldn't say demonic, but more like old man-ish.
Oh.
You know, like, kind of
weird.
Yeah, kind of old man-ish. It was just like, get out of here. Like, or it just said, get out. That's what it said. It just said, get out.
I guess it makes sense for the area it was in. So that was Colorado Springs.
Yeah. And it was on the north side of town too, which is pretty good, but.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, I think the whole area was, you know, this whole thing was the Wild West, you know, Cripple Creek, Colorado Springs, Manitou Springs, all that shit. So
yeah,
what
well,
was your...
and we got a lot of Indian reservations and stuff like that too. So that's correct. Yeah, they do see some stuff out there, and I believe, you know, probably 90% of it, easy.
Yeah, yeah, same. So what was your second ghost experience after the old man yelling at you like a scumbag?
Well, it didn't really happen until I got older. You know, then we moved into the ghetto, and then life just kind of got crazy and hectic, and, you know, high school came, and I'm pretty sure there were some things that happened I don't really necessarily remember. And then it really just started to amp. It didn't really start amping up until I was like in my mid-20s. Like there was a lady that in one of my apartments I lived at, she lived underneath me, and it was her and her daughter and her daughter's husband. And the daughter and the husband didn't care about my partying all night and, you know, everything. But the mother hated me.
Yeah.
And so
one day, I see them moving out, and I go and I talk to the guy, and I'm like, oh, you guys moving? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, is it because of me? And he goes, no, no. He goes, we didn't mind you at all. He was like, our mother or my mother-in-law did. And he was like, but she just passed away like 2 weeks ago. Oh. And I'm like, oh, I was like, you know, I'm sorry. And he's like, yeah, you know, it's okay. You know, she had these issues, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Not a day later, I'm sitting in the house and I'm playing PlayStation, and I get this heavy whiff of perfume, old lady perfume. And I mean, it hits me, smacks me in the face. Like I was choking. It was so heavy. And, you know, I don't have anybody over. There was nobody there, you know. And then it just kept visiting me after a while, for probably a good 6 months. Just every now and then, a couple times a week, you would just get this heavy old lady perfume, I just like to say. Because, you know, they spray themselves so much, you know. And So then that started happening. And then the thing with my doppelganger, and then just, I mean, it was, just, I mean, it was just like the first thing that happened with my son's mom, the girl that I was dating with my daughter had that when she had that incident with my daughter. When we first started dating, we were living in Denver, or she was living in Denver, and I was staying the night. So my buddy and I go up there to stay the night. We had went out, partied and everything like that. And I'm laying in bed, and I hear, and she lived like on the fifth floor, right, of these apartments. And she had never experienced anything in her entire life. And I would tell her things that have happened. And she's like, oh, okay, you know, well, you know, same as everybody, you know, like, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I hear kids playing outside of the window. And it's like 3:30 in the morning.
That's
and I look
weird.
Out the window and I'm like, what? And it sounds like a playground full of kids. And I look out the window and there's nothing out there. Plus, we're on the fifth floor. Like, we, you know, they wouldn't be out there. And so I look out the window and I sit, lay back down, and she looks at me and she's like, what? And I'm like, did you hear kids playing? And she's like, yeah. And she's like, what time is it? And I'm like, it's like 3:30. And she's like, that's weird. She's like, is there any out there? And I'm like, no. So we're both like, well, that's weird. And next thing you know, we feel a press on the bed. And then it pushes up. And the next thing you know, somebody screams in our face. And we're both like, what the? And we, like, cover up, and we're both just, like, underneath the blankets, like, what the fuck just happened? And then you feel the pressure get off the bed, and then the door to the bedroom opened up.
Holy
well,
shit.
My buddy was asleep on the couch, and he didn't hear anything. Well, he didn't wake up anyway, or nothing happened. So after that happens, we lay back down, and I get woken up, and I hear my name, and I hear Bruce. And I wake up, and I don't see anybody, and I hear, it'll happen at 5 o'clock. And I'm like, what? And I look over at the clock, and, you know, this is when we still had the old alarm clocks on the side of the table. And I look over at the alarm clock, and it's 4:59. Next thing you know, it strikes 5 o'clock, the bedroom door opens back up.
What?
So I get up. I get up because I'm like, I need to know, you know, what this is, because I'm just that type of person. I'm like, you know, I know it's scary and all, but I need to know. I need to see. And
yeah,
so I walk out
to the
hallway, and I'm walking and I'm creeping and I'm going real slow, you know, and it's 5 o'clock in the morning. My buddy, like a vampire coming out of a crypt, just sits up straight. He doesn't, you know, push up to get up. He's laying on his back. He sits straight up into a seating position, like with no time. And he goes, is it time? And I step back and I'm like.
He said, is it time?
Yeah. And I step back and I go, no. And he just drops back and goes back to sleep. And then I was like, I'm done. I went back into the bedroom. And I was like.
Wait, but did he hear the ghostly voice say at 5 a.m. that anything was happening?
No, he was in the living room. We were like 2 doors away down the hallway.
That's insane.
And he's the one that'll tell you. He's the one that, like I said, I have, you know, I have a lot of good friends, but I have these two that have experienced multiple things with me. He's the one that'll tell you that Bruce ain't lying. And then my other friend would be like, Bruce is just imagining things. Things like this don't really happen.
No, I completely believe you, because I've had weird shit too. What was the pressure on the bed? Remember earlier I told you about it felt like an animal somehow scampered in beneath The
yeah, this one was on top. It was just like somebody had crawled into bed.
Oh, well, that's even scarier, actually. I mean, when it happened to me, though, I kind of was like, I think I was just so tired eventually. Like, I went out and I told my friend who I was traveling with. I told her about it, and I was freaked out. And then I was just like, I went back in the room, and I was like, all right, buddy, or whoever you are, like, can you please let me sleep? Like, fuck off. This is annoying. And then I wasn't really scared necessarily, but I knew it was very real. I mean, it moved my body.
Right. I mean, that's the thing about it. Like, you know, you can say it to somebody and it can sound insane, but you felt it. You actually went through it. They can't tell you from, you know, an outsider's perspective, never, you know, dealing with it.
Yeah.
That it's not real. And that's, you know, that's the problem that you face when, you know, you talk about it.
Yeah, and I have some insane photos, too, of, like, around my 30th birthday, might have been my 30th, my friends all booked us a bunch of rooms at the Queen Mary, you know, the cruise ship in Long Beach, California.
Uh-huh.
And there's a room there where something really bad happened, some bad murder or something, and they it's unmarked, like, they don't, but we found it online, like, which one it was. And so we were all drunk and walked over and found it. And we were just taking photos. And we took a photo of my buddy Zach in front of the door. And there is a huge black mass. It's not a good orb it's a very sinister. I mean, and I've asked ghost experts or whatever about it. And they're like, yeah, that's a demon.
Oh, yeah, that's – well, yeah, Queen Mary, I mean, you know, that's one of the most haunted places, too.
Yeah, well, I also think Cripple Creek is.
Cripple Creek is definitely up there.
No, I'm going to be terrified all night.
No,
here.
I mean, you know, you don't have to worry about it there because, like I said, that one there, you don't necessarily – you know, you don't get many, like, complaints from people up there at our place. You know, like if you had stayed like at, you know, St. Nicholas, you might have an issue at night where, you know, you're getting bumped or things are moving or because that one up there, he messes with a lot of people. But as far as like most of the hotels go, the ghosts, they're just seen and they're not really heard of, you know.
So what have you seen here? And by the way, I'm going to send you a text of the live video that we took at St. Nicholas with that minor that I interviewed and he took us to the St. Nicholas. Where you hear a woman say, turn it over. It's eerie as fuck. And she's it's so weird. And no one was up there. It's so weird.
Oh,
but,
I 100% believe it, especially at St. Nicholas.
Yeah. So what have you experienced in Cripple Creek? Because this place, it has to be creepy. A person was murdered a day during the gold rush. I mean.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I've seen the, when I was, I had an office up in one of the buildings and I had sneezed really loud. The Imperial, which is right down the street from St. Nicholas at that end of that corner.
Uh-huh.
And I sneezed really loud and I felt that, you know, somebody push on the desk and yell at me to be quiet. And I, you know, you could feel the breath and everything. And I feel like I'm getting yelled at by these ghosts. What is the problem?
Yeah, but, I feel like you have a lot of stories of being yelled at by them. Why are they so irritated?
I know. Why do I bug them so much?
I think
and
you're a pretty pleasant person. I don't really understand.
Normally, I mean, I am. They just don't like it when I make noise or breathe, I guess. I don't know.
But I think it's I don't know. I think it's also possibly because you're experiencing so much. Like, I've never heard someone that had this many experiences. And again,
oh,
I think
I mean,
it's crossed over
even,
to the other side.
I haven't even touched on, I mean, there's so many, I have so many, man, that just, it's.
Okay, keep going.
I could be here for days, man. It's crazy. But yeah, so that guy, well, as far as Cripple Creek goes, so yeah, that guy yelling at me, like I said, I've seen that witch. It looks like a witch, anyway. It's a lady dressed in all black with like, you know, like a witch's hat, but she's like just completely black. And she just looks like a completely black mist. And I've seen her on the corner, two corners. Before Maggie,
what street here?
I don't know the street names, but they're like I said, they're at the corner of the one hotel and then the gas station across from it.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Wildwood, I think, is there.
Yeah,
and then,
yeah, the Wildwood, yeah. And then the gas station or whatever that's called. I know.
Damn,
I've worked
there.
Damn,
I'm going to go
there,
walk
and
there and see if
station.
I can see her tonight.
It would be like late. It would be like every time I've seen her, it was when I worked a night shift and I would leave there between, 2 and 4 in the morning is
yeah.
when I've seen her. And,
I want to do that, but I would be stupid as a girl to walk there, but I do a lot of dumb things. So we'll see.
I mean, it would be great if you did and you saw something, but yeah.
So she would just appear like.
Yeah, I'm just driving by, and I would just look over, and I see her standing there on the corner.
That's crazy.
And I'm not the only one that's seen her. Like, a couple of my dealers at the time, when I saw her, I was like, yo, when I left last night, I was like, I saw this lady. And then another one of my dealers was like, oh, I saw her too. I've seen her before a couple of times. And so a couple of people have seen her.
I want to clarify for my listeners, you mean casino dealers, not drug dealers, because I was ready to ask you, like, are you certain you weren't on drugs?
Sorry, I was a manager at a casino, yes, table game dealer, yes, dealers.
Yeah, no,
I
know.
But, they've seen her, and then I've seen Maggie, the one that walks she's real popular up in Cripple Creek, over at the Grand.
She's the one in the white dress?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've seen her walk through a room. I've stayed up there. I used to stay up there a lot. And when I was a manager up there, because I was working, 14, 15-hour days. And so I would get a room everywhere all the time. And I've seen her walk through a couple of times. A lot of people have seen her. She just walks through the room, though. Like, that's it. Like, like with the ghost that's there, you'll just see them walk through the room. Like, it's no big deal.
Because they don't necessarily know that it's not their space anymore or – because I've heard stories like that where, like, it's they people that have bought houses and the mom that lived there that died or whatever just kind of acted like she was moving about the kitchen. Like, it was – she doesn't recognize that that's her home. I mean, so
yeah,
she's dead, but
– it kind of gets into the theory, which I'm kind of with. I think it has a lot of logic to it, is are they haunting us or are we haunting them? Are we just kind of – is our timelines kind of crossing over?
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with you on that. One of the stories I heard today from that, I wasn't from the drunk old man. It was another old man. I keep making friends with old mans, and hopefully no one rapes me at any point, but I think I'm fine. I know, I'm just joking. But I am alone and whatever. But I got a taser and mace. But one of the guys, which was so weird, and he was so nice. He talked to me last night too. And then tonight before I talked to you, I was playing at his bar. And his wife was also named Rachel, and she died. And he was telling me about all these weird hauntings about her, which was very sad and very cute, but sad. But then he started dating this woman named Nancy, who was a big player in the town. And his wife started, like, signaling, like, I think that she was irritated that there was another woman in the home with flashing lights. And then randomly, Nancy also told him about when he was staying in one of these hotels, a naked woman walking through the walls.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, which is... I believe that too, because I read a book, brothels, bordellos and bad girls about Cripple Creek, about all the, prostitution here, which, those women, what else were they going to do for a living? I mean, I don't shame them at all, but I feel like there's a lot of that energy here. Like,
a lot
of women treated like shit here.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. And so they keep that residual, spirit there. That residual energy stays because it'd be so traumatic almost,
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. They say that. What else have you experienced here or what else anywhere, frankly?
Because
I feel like you're like a weird anomaly where you really do attract.
I have a story about the Stanley. It's kind of long, though. It It
Go
literally
ahead.
Lasted almost 12 hours, maybe even longer.
What?
Yeah, so.
No, your experience lasted 12.
Oh, yeah, it was a long night, let's just say.
Holy shit.
So the Stanley Hotel, which I'm sure you're familiar with,
yeah.
Right? The Shining, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
So a girlfriend of mine, she was a UFC fight promoter, and she had just got done with this fight she'd been working on for like 6 months, blah, blah, blah. She's like, I need a vacation. She's like, go somewhere with me. So I'm like, all right, cool. Let's go. Where do you want to go? And so she's like, we go through some places. We're like, oh, let's go to Estes Park. So we're like, fine, let's go to Estes Park. And I'm like, oh, if we're going to be up there, let's stay at the Stanley. So she's like, okay, cool. Sounds good. So we booked two nights at the Stanley, Saturday and Sunday night. Well, Sunday was St. Patrick's Day. So Saturday night, we show up to the Stanley. And she decided, her daughter and her daughter's boyfriend decided they want to come now that we're staying at Stanley and hang out. So
mm-hmm.
we're like, yeah, cool, you know, so we'll make a thing of it. Well, so anyway, so we're at the bar and her daughter shows up. So we go upstairs and we're standing in the room. And the room that we had when we got there, we found out was room 402. Now,
mm-hmm.
the two haunted rooms in that hotel are room 401 and 402.
Oh, shit. I'm looking up right now as you're talking.
We didn't book that room. We just booked a room.
Okay.
So we'll come to find out after our experience. So we had originally booked a room. As we were going up that day, or the day before we were going up, they called and was like, hey, is it okay if we move you to a different room? And we were like, or she was like, yeah, that's fine, whatever. And they didn't really tell us, you know, anything. And we didn't know that any of the rooms were any different, because we didn't really like look into it or anything like that. So we originally had one room. They called and moved us to a different room, which happened to be room 402. So later on, after everything, we found out, after we had got there, that room 402 was one of their spirited rooms or haunted rooms.
Yeah. Oh, as I'm Googling it, it says it's like the most haunted, pretty much.
Yes. So, well, I know it is now. So anyway, so we're in the room, and the room is kind of slanted, right? So when you walk in the room, it kind of slants. It has a tilt to it. So when you open the door will swing almost all the way open because it tilts that direction, okay?
Uh-huh.
So I'm standing in the doorway of the room, and we're talking, and I'm talking to her daughter and my friend, and, you know, we're waiting on her boyfriend to come up. And as I'm standing there, she's like, hey, can you turn the ceiling fan on? And I'm like, yeah. And this is March. Right. So this is like the end of March and it's freezing out, but it was hot in that room for some reason. So I go to turn the ceiling fan on. And as I move out of the doorway, the door slams shut. And I mean, with a thud, like it didn't just creak.
Ooh.
It slammed shut, like scared all of us. We all jumped back and I'm like, what the heck? So I pull the door open and I look out in the hallway and I'm like, there's nobody out here. So we're like, what the heck? That's crazy. So her boyfriend comes in and he came with a GoPro strapped around his neck. Right? He had like this little thing set up so that he could GoPro the whole night.
Yeah.
So he comes in and he's like, what happened? We're like, the door just slammed. We're like, oh no, like it already happened. And we had like the ghost tour set up and all this stuff. So we go through, we're sitting in there and nothing's really going on. We're talking and we go walk around, check out the site. We go and check out the town a little bit. We come back, we go on the ghost tour and we're like looking for stuff, taking pictures and nothing's happening. It's just kind of boring. We're like, dang, you know? We're like, this is kind of boring.
Mm-hmm.
So we go, we're in the room, and we're back in the room, and we're hanging out. We're like, well, let's go get dinner. So we had, there was a living room and then a bedroom. And then, you know, and then the bathroom was, so the living room was in the middle, bathroom to the right, bedroom to the left.
Uh-huh.
So we're getting ready to go get something to eat. And I go into the room, and in the room there was a desk, and we had all the liquor in there. So we had a couple bottles and some beer in there sitting on the desk. And
mm-hmm.
so my friend had her jacket on the chair on the desk. So I'm standing in the doorway of the bedroom in the living room, and I got my hands up on the door frame, and we're talking. I'm talking in between. And next thing you know, when she went to grab her jacket, this, like, apparition flies through her jacket, like knocks the jacket out of her hand. Flies
what?
Past me and flies out the bedroom door, or flies out the room door.
What?
And we're all like, what the fuck was that? And we're like, no, no way. And my friend is freaking out because it knocked her jacket out of her hand.
What did the apparition look like?
It was just a blur. It was just a blur. Like, you know, you could tell that it was something, but it was a blur, and it moved really fast.
I feel like you've had some very aggressive, is it not benevolent, malevolent? Is that the right word?
Yeah, yeah, the mean ones, yeah.
Malevolent
is the mean ones, yeah.
Yeah, like, what the?
Well, so he just flies by, right? He just goes, it's like he went through the room. And so we're like, what? And so we're tripping out about that, right? We're like, what just happened? And we're looking through his GoPro to see if he caught it, and he didn't catch it. So we're talking, whatever. So finally we're like, okay, well, let's go, you know, go have dinner. And so we walk out to the hallway, and her daughter's boyfriend and I are standing at the elevator, and we're hitting the door, the elevator room, and there was a picture on the wall. And I mentioned something to him about, well, the Stanley before, you know, Airbnb took over, right? And just making a joke about something. Next thing you know, the guy that's in room 401 comes out of his room. And he's like, can you guys be quiet out here? And we're like, we're not even being loud, dude. And he was like, yeah, 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 there's ghosts here. Nobody cares. He was like, you need to be quiet. And we're like, okay, it's 8 o'clock, man. Like, relax. And he's like, I got work in the morning, and I'm trying to get some sleep. And we're like, and he comes out, right, and he's a big, I don't want to say, you know, he's a big dude. You know, not big like muscular, but like big dude. He's drank a lot of beer in his life.
Okay.
And
I get the point. Yeah.
And he's only got on basketball shorts, no shirt, nothing.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, there's a lot of confidence there too, which is great.
So he's yelling at us, and so he's like, "There's nobody in my room but me and a baseball bat." And so we're like, "Baseball bat?" We're like, "You brought a baseball bat?" And he's like, he was like, for protection. And we're like, well, you just said you weren't worried about nothing. And he just starts going off. He's like, well, I'll bring my baseball bat out here. And we're like, all right, do what you got to do, man. We're like, it's whatever, right? So
that,
he gets all mad
weird
at us.
That,
huh?
Why would anyone bring a baseball bat? That's so weird.
Well, why would anybody be in bed at 8 o'clock on a Saturday night at the Stanley staying in room 401?
Yeah, all of it.
So
weird.
That's what I kept telling him. I'm like, dude, I was like, you're staying at the Stanley and you're working tomorrow. Like, you couldn't, I mean, like, there's a, you know, hotels everywhere. But so anyway, so as he gets done with that, the girls come out. They're like, what is the problem? And we're like, this dude. And we're telling her about, you know, we're telling the girls about it. Next thing you know, this other girl comes down the hallway and she's like, hey, what's going on, guys? You know, blah, blah, blah. And they get to talking and we're telling them about the guy. And so the girl's like, oh, well, let's mess with him. So the girl that we just met goes along his wall, and she's, like, scratching his wall, like, to mess with him, right?
It's funny. Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, my God. I was like, I'm going to get another drink. So I go into the bedroom to get a drink. And as I'm in the bedroom making a drink, you just hear this, loud boom. Like, it was huge. Like, it was like the whole place collapsed. And
ooh.
So I'm like, what the heck? And I come running out, and everybody's like, what is that? What was that? Well, now the guy is back out his room talking to everybody, and he's talking in a completely different voice. He's calm.
What?
Yeah, he's calm. He's like, he's all friendly, like a whole different demeanor. Right?
Well, but also a different voice, like a different like dialect. Or...
Yeah, a whole different persona almost. Yeah. Because before he was like this grumpy, like, you know, dude, and he just had this, like, you know, like, gruff about him. And then when we talked to him afterwards, he was like kind of just, you know, normal voice, normal tone, just kind of laid back. Like, it was
okay,
so
Colorado's
weird.
Colorado's creepy. Colorado's so creepy. Yeah.
Well, so we're talking to him, and so they're trying to rewind the GoPro to see if they catch the noise.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't ever catch the noise. So anyway, so later, so we do our thing, we're hanging out, we're back in the room, and the other guy, he puts his Mountain Dew bottle out on the ledge of our hotel room, right? And this was earlier in the day. He was like, I want to see if this will freeze, right? His Mountain Dew bottle. And,
oh, the guy that was in your room, not the other. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, because he said it outside the window, you know, outside the window of the room.
Yeah.
So, so this was earlier in the day. So anyway, so we're sitting there, we're hanging out, and what happened? So I think this is when she flips out. So yeah, we decide we're going to go walk around. And so my friend was sitting in her room, and we're like, well, let's go walk around. And I look in the room, and she's just sitting on the bed, right? And she's not moving. And I'm like, hey, let's go. And she's just standing there. She's not moving. So her daughter's like, hey, she's like, let's go. And I'm like, yo, I'm like, man, something's wrong with her. And I'm like, look at her. I'm like, something's wrong with her. And so I'm like pointing at her, and I'm like, something's wrong with her. And so her daughter comes up. She's like, Mom, what's wrong? And her mom's not answering. Her mom's just sitting on the bed.
What? This is horrifying.
And she's not saying nothing. Exactly what happened. So she was acting totally weird, not like her. And she's just sitting on the bed. She wouldn't move. Nothing. So as her,
and
she's trying to talk.
Super fucked up. It wasn't.
No. She's a partier. This girl will party nonstop for days. Like, there's no stopping her.
Yeah.
So as her daughter.
Yeah.
So as her daughter's talking to her, I'm talking to the boyfriend, and I look out the window, and I notice that every window on our floor is open to a halfway point. Every single window on our floor is open halfway, except for ours.
That's really creepy.
Yeah. So I look at him, and I'm like, yo. And so he looks out the window, and he's like, what the f-? And I'm like, that's crazy. So I'm like, grab your mom. Let's go outside and, you know, see what's going on. So reluctantly, we get her to go outside. And when we get outside, we notice that all the way around the house, all the way around the hotel, every room, every window was open halfway except for ours. Even the big guy that was only wearing shorts, his window was open halfway. So, yeah. So then the girl that's all acting, my friend is acting all crazy. She zips up her jacket all the way up over her face, and she's like, get me out of here. Take me away from here. Get me as far away from here as possible. And that's all she would say for about 15 minutes is, I have to get out of here. I have to get out of here. What about the kids? Get the kids. Let's get out of here. And we're like, what are you talking about? Like, what kids? We're like, and we're all confused, right?
Wait, sorry. I'm only going to interrupt you for a second. The scary noise that I've heard in this room just happened again while you were telling this story. It sounds like there's a train running over the top of this building.
Oh yeah, that's the air vent system.
Okay, it's not nothing.
Because
scary.
It's right
okay.
Above you. Yeah, no.
Okay, thank you. Okay, keep going.
So she's freaking out. We're freaking out. We're like, man, well, I don't know. Like, we're at one, you know. On one side, we're like, we want to investigate more. We want to see what's going on. But we're like worried about her because she's like freaking out and acting crazy.
Yeah.
So we take her inside, and we try to calm her down, but she won't calm down. So if I pull her daughter aside. I'm like, yo, I was like, you got to get her to read a scripture. And she's like, well, what scripture? I'm like, I don't know. I was like, have her do St. Michael or something. So she's like, okay. She's like, let's do that. So we take her back up to the room. And as we're going up to the room, her daughter pulls up the scripture of St. Michael. And she's like, Mom, read this. And she's like, no. And she's like, just read it. And she's like, no. And her mom is, you know, fairly religious.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, no, I want it. She wouldn't even look at it. So we get up into the room, and we're in the bedroom. And she's like, Mom, read this. And she's like, no. She's like, Mom, just do this for me. Read it. It's important. So she grabs the phone. She looks at it. She's like, okay, there. She's like, no, you have to read it out loud. And she's like, oh, my God. And then so finally she reads it, right? And I'm turned around, or I was like turned around making a drink for me and her boyfriend.
Uh-huh.
And so she reads it, and they sit down on the bed, right? And she's like, all right. She's like, just rest here for a minute, sit down. And so I'm making the drink. And I turn around, and when I turn around, her daughter has long hair, and it was in a ponytail. I turn around, her daughter's hair is standing straight up towards the ceiling.
What the fuck?
And
what?
I look, and I'm like, and I'm just staring at it. And her daughter, and then her mom looks at it and is like, what the fuck? And as soon as she says that, her hair falls. And
what?
You see that,
wait,
Alex.
Wait, was it like short hair all of a sudden? Like,
No, it was like super long hair, and it was like in a ponytail, and it was pointing straight up.
I know, but when it was standing straight up, was it super long standing straight up?
Yeah. Yeah, it was like straight up. Like straight up.
Oh, my God,
and down.
That is horrifying.
Like somebody was holding it. And then as soon as her mom screamed, the ponytail dropped.
Oh, did it look like someone was holding it? So it wasn't like a mohawk of sorts. It was like someone was grabbing it, like it was in a...
Yeah, it was a ponytail. It was a long ponytail. It was her hair was just pulled back, and it was like somebody was standing behind her, just holding it up, you know, over her head.
I might throw up. Okay, yeah, that's absolutely terrifying.
So after that goes, the girls are freaking out. They're crying. Like, her daughter is hysterical. And they're crying, and we're trying to calm down. And, you know, so her boyfriend and I start taking pictures and video because we're like, it has to be here somewhere. And so we get all that calmed down. We're chilling. We're hanging out. And, you know, finally, and this is like, we're coming on like 4 a.m. right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're like, okay. You know, like, we finally get ready and we're like going to bed. And so we finally just pass out basically from exhaustion. And so
We're
sleeping. And next thing you know, we hear, who is that? Who is this? Whose face is that? And so we all wake up. We're like, what? And her mom is in the bathroom staring into the mirror and is screaming about whose face is that in the mirror.
Oh my God.
And so I come in there. I'm like, what are you talking about? And her daughter's like, Mom, what's the problem? And she's like, that's not my face. That's not my face. And we're like, what? And she turned around and looked at us. Her eyes were black, completely black, 100%.
What?
Yeah. So her,
wait,
she's like,
the mom's eyes were black.
Yes, yes. The one, and she didn't recognize the face in the mirror.
But when she turned towards you, her eyes were black.
Yep.
I'm never sleeping again. Anyways, keep going.
So finally, her daughter's like, we got to get out of here. We've had enough. So we're like, yeah, you're right. We're like, let's get her out of here. Like, because this has gone way beyond just fun, you know, seeing a ghost here and there.
Yeah.
So we go down and we talk to the people at the desk and they're like, no, that's fine. They're like, we get it. And we're like, you know, we got to go. We got to get out of here. So we went and got a room, you know, down the street at another hotel. And like I said, the next day was St. Patrick's Day. And like her mom, like that was her big thing. Like she wanted to party. She wanted to go downtown Estes Park, do all the bars, just, you know, have a drunk fest for St. Patrick's Day. Her mom never left the bed. She wasn't good for about 3 months until she finally saw a medium. And the medium told her that it was a lady that was stuck there. And she was like, not a hostage, but, you know, it was like basically like, you know, she couldn't leave because of her husband wouldn't let her leave, and she was worried about the kids and stuff like that. But it messed her up for a good, like, 3 to 4 months afterwards. She was just not the same person.
I swear to God, you have the scariest stories I've ever heard. The fact that she turned around and her eyes were black.
Yeah, and so even funny, well, not funny, but so she calls me the other day, and she's like, hey, have you seen that movie or that show Midnight Club? And I'm like, no. And she's like, okay, I don't know either. I think it's on Netflix. And she's like, well, she's like, not that the show, it's not important. She goes, but remember when I saw that face in the mirror that I didn't know? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, the person that I saw is in that show Midnight Club.
What?
And she said, it's some scary old lady. She goes, it looked exactly like her.
What?
And so I haven't watched the show yet or the movie to see what she looks like, but... She's like, it looks exactly like her. She was like, I was watching that show, and she's like, that woman came on. She was like, I just burst into tears and started crying because that's who I saw in the mirror.
I mean, I believe her unless she's schizophrenic or something. I feel like that place is known to be, I feel like, because I think that Colorado was the Wild West, and so, like, same with New Mexico. New Mexico scares the shit out of me, but... Anyways, well, we'll talk again, and thank you for doing this. I'll send you a link to it, and wait, is there anything you want to promote? Please text me your address so I can give you a gift.
No, I'm good. Just, you know, just love to talk about it. Love the subject.
Yeah, but please text me your address so I can send you a gift.
Oh, yes, no problem. I'll send you those pictures, too.
Oh, I want to see those. I'm going to send you one of the creepy ones I wanted to... I'm going to send you both the Queen Mary one and then the one that you have to hold your finger down and hear the weird, creepy voice from the St. Nicholas Hotel.
Oh, yeah, that'll be great.
Yeah, it's creepy as shit. I'm certain it's a sex worker from back in the day. That's
Is this the way? Is this the way she's speaking? And no one else is on the floor. That is, there's no other explanation other than it was a ghost.
Absolutely.
Anyways, all right. Well, I'll see you again.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Bye.
All right. Bye.